Daniel got down and Daniel began to pray for God's will and for God's direction. God sent the angel to answer Daniel's prayer. This is Daniel chapter 10. God sent the angel to answer Daniel's prayer. See, he said, Daniel, from the day you started praying, the answer was on the way. But it didn't get there until 21 days later. What happened? When he finally got there, Daniel said, man, where you been? He said, I got caught up. He said, there was battles in heavenly places that hindered me from coming to bring to you the answer that God had for you. Saints, we're dealing with issues up here. That's what I'm saying. You got to lift the battle. You got to lift it from earth, and you got to lift it up here. You got to do business up here.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on spiritual warfare titled Looking for a Reason to Fight, with the conclusion of part 4, Preparation for the Battle. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Preparation for the Battle.
Satan will move in. He'll move in. Paul said, you got to stand. And when do you stand? He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? This word wiles is a very interesting word. It's a word that comes from the Greek word methodios. He says, beware of the methods and the schemes of the devil. Understand the methods and the schemes of the devil. What is it that Satan is doing? How is he moving about in our lives? Well, you see, I put a little chart there in your notes. These are some of the schemes of the devil. And that little chart right there, the schemes of the devil. And I'm not going to read these scriptures. You can look them all up when you leave. Lies and accusations. That's one of his schemes. Satan wants to get you to lie. He wants to tempt you to lie and find fault and accuse other people. That's a trick of the devil. That's one of his tricks. And if he lures you in, come on in. I went to see my grandson. Well, I took my granddaughter back from choir rehearsal the other night. And I went to my daughter's house. And as soon as I walk in, my grandson, he ran up to the door. He said, pop, 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 pop. Come on in. That's Satan. Jojo, Mary, Bob, 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 come on in. That's Satan, man. Satan invites us. He tempts us into things that trap us. Y'all heard the story about these. They were called monkey trappers. And in order to trap these monkeys, because these monkeys were so wily and they eluded these trappers, what they would do is they would take these coconuts and they would hollow out the coconut and leave a little hole just big enough for the monkey to put his hand in. And then they would have little nuts and stuff down inside the coconut shell. And the monkeys would see these shells and they would pick them up and they would hear these nuts inside and they would reach inside to get the nuts. But when they stuck their hand in and made a fist, they couldn't get it back out. And so they were so greedy that they didn't want to let go of the nuts in their hand, and they would be running around shaking these and the monkey trappers found them. You know what? Satan is the same way. Satan lures us. He got a lot of tricks. He got a lot of tricks. For some, it's putting that little hole in there and getting us to stick our hand in, because he knows that we're greedy. He knows that we're not going to let go. And what do? We hold on because we're trying to get out. Instead of having sense enough to let go and pull our hand out, we keep it in. And we've fallen into one of the tricks, one of the schemes of the devil. B- beauty and deception. That's another scheme or trick of the devil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, don't you know that Satan can be transformed into an angel of light? Satan is like Hallmark. He cares enough to send only the very best. If Satan is trying to tempt you, he's not going to send some broke down, old beat up dude. he got sense. He's going to send somebody that's big and strong. It makes you wobble at your knees. That's his trick right there. That's Satan's trick. And then, you know, you'll throw out everything. Well, you know, I know that not to be equally yoked. Oh, that's out the window. That's out the window. The equal yoke. No, I got to be yoked up with this right here. Throw it out the window. Throw out all this good teaching. Pastor Glaze done preached his heart out. Done fed my soul. Throw it out. Just throw it out. Throw it out. Why? Because of the tricks of the devil. The devil got a lot of tricks. Beauty and deception. Hatred and murder. The Bible says that he is the father of murder. He said that Cain, when he murdered Abel, that he was acting out and motivated by the devil. What did Jesus say? If you've got hatred in your heart, that's just the same as being a murderer. You just haven't committed the act. That's that Satan, his trick is to get us upset with somebody and get us to the point where we hate people. Man, we got to realize that this is, if we have hatred in our heart, and I'm not just talking, sometimes I'm not even talking about the saints. I'm talking about for people in general, races of people, classes of people, positions of people. If we got hatred, that's not of God. That's something that Satan has sucked us into. Lust and temptation is another wile. It's a trick of the devil. It's a trick of the devil. Lust and temptation is the devil's trick. Man, the other night I was watching a program, and many of you probably saw it, Dateline, NBC, where they are getting these guys to think that they're coming to the house of a 13-year-old girl to have sex and get drunk and all this other kind of stuff. And these guys come to the place where this girl supposedly is going to be, this 13-year-old girl. And when they get there, they got the NBC news cameras. And then when they get ready to leave, they got the police ready to jump on them. You see, what is it that drives these? One man, once again, they need to be dealt with. They need to be brought to justice. But it kind of broke my heart, man, to watch this one guy who was a doctor in San Francisco. And when he came to the house and found out that it was a setup, he said, "Oh no!" He said, "Please don't show." I mean, the man was begging and pleading for them not to show it, but it was too late. He was already caught in the trap. He was already sucked up in the trap. And that's the way Satan does. Satan will have a 13-year-old girl on the end of, or supposedly 13-year-old girl, on the other end, working on your lust, working on your temptation, drawing you away from what is right. That's the traps, that's the trick, that's the methods of the devil. And we need to be aware of it. People falling left and right to the tricks, to the schemes of the devil. Pride and arrogance is a scheme of the devil. Satan was in heaven. He was one of the top angels in heaven. He was one of the most beautiful creatures that God had created. And he said, "I'm going to make myself like the Most High. I'm going to exalt my throne above the throne of God. I'm going to be the king in heaven." And God said to him, "The pride of thy heart hath deceived you and destroyed you." And there's a lot of people, pride and arrogance is bringing them down. Oh, it may be subtle pride. It may not be outward pride where you are braggadocious and boastful. It may just be subtle pride in your spirit that keeps you from humbling yourself and doing things that God would have you to do. That's satanic. And you're being motivated by one of the tricks of the devil, theft and destruction. Satan is a thief, and he's tempting people into thievery and destruction. Man, he's destroying lives. He's destroying marriages. He's stealing away joy. He's stealing peace. He's stealing blessings. He tricks. He substitutes. He makes you think that, oh, I'm going to be so happy when I get this. I'm going to be so blessed when I get this. And when you... And when you get it, it's just something that destroys you. Man, it's a trick of the devil. The devil is tricking a lot of folks. Man, I wish that this message can get through, because sometimes even the young people, man, things look so beautiful. But the end thereof is destruction. It's destruction. Man, venereal disease is at an all-time high in our country today. You know, why is that? One reason is because people are being deceived. They're getting in things that they never should have gotten in the first place. And once they get in it, the devil has tricked them into it. And then they get into it and find out that it's not what they thought it was going to be. Man, the devil got a lot of tricks. He got a lot of schemes. He got a lot of wiles. He got a lot of methods. And we need to be aware of the methods of God, the schemes of the devil. Paul says that when you come up against the wiles of the devil, and I like what he says here in verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wrestle was a term used back in the time of Paul, and it referred to throwing a person down on the ground. But it went further than that, because it referred to a hand-to-hand combat between two opponents that continued until one person threw the other person on the ground and at the end killed the person that was on the ground. Paul said, we are in a life and death struggle here. He said, this thing is life or death. He said, when we wrestle, we see, you know, that's the problem. That's the problem right there, is that we don't realize the seriousness of the battle. We don't realize that this is a life or death battle, and so we just nonchalantly skip along like Tiny Tim tiptoe through the tulips. That's what we do. We don't see the seriousness of this thing. If more Christians saw the seriousness of this battle, we'd be a lot more serious about this thing. We would take this fight a lot more serious, but we take it lightly. We get up and just think that everything is going to be hunky-dory. We're fine, you know, bless me, bless mine, and I'll be all right. But, man, we don't do spiritual warfare. And you know the thing about it? Sometimes it's not even a matter of doing spiritual warfare. Like I said earlier, it's the fact that you already caught up in it. You are thrown into spiritual warfare, whether you want to be in it or not. Some of you going you find you, and see, here goes the problem. Let me move to my next point right here. And my next point is this: spiritual battles require spiritual sight. First of all, you got to see the assault. You got to see the assault. Where is the battle at? Well, he makes it very clear in verse 12: for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Somebody said, well, my wife is the enemy. My husband is the enemy. That person in the church is the enemy. Well, you know, right there, he makes it very clear that the battle is not against flesh and blood. And so the bottom line is that, no, your husband is not your enemy. The bottom line, no, your wife is not your enemy. That's the bottom line. You know, as soon as let's get away from that thinking, you know, because he makes it clear that as a Christian and as a believer doing spiritual warfare, that your battle is not against flesh and blood. And the sooner you realize that, the better you're going to be. Because you'll get a lot further down the road when you see that you're not fighting against a knucklehead. You'll get a lot further down the road when you see that you're not fighting a flesh and blood battle. You've got to have the sight to see where the assault is coming from. You know, the first thing we look, something bad happens. We start finger pointing and accusing people. Then we go down the wrong road right from Jump Street. See, the first thing that we need to do when the spiritual battle comes is we need to look above. Because that's where the battle is. The battle is up there. And if we put ourselves, that's what he said in Colossians, that if you are risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. So we need to get our eyes off the wrong battle. And see, as long as the devil can keep you fighting the wrong person, then he got you. And that's his objective. Because see, if I'm duking it out with my wife, if I'm duking it out with my husband, or duking it out with another church member, then right here, you know what I'm not doing? I'm not praying. I'm duking. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm duking. I'm not seeking forgiveness. I'm duking. See, I'm fighting right here. But as soon as I put this fight down, man, I think I'm going to buy this CD myself, man. Woo! Make sure I get a copy of this CD. As soon as I put that down and get my eyes focused where the battle is, then I can deal with this right here. I can deal with this right here. So the first thing that we got to do is that we got to see where the assault is. And then the second thing we've got to do is we have to have the sight to see the adversary. We got to know who the real enemy is. It says here, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In your notes there, I have broken down into four categories the words and what they mean. Principalities, that means ruling spirits. And you know, I'm not sure, and I haven't done an in-depth study on all this, and I'm going to do it, but ruling spirits, there are ruling spirits. There are spirits that rule territories, that dominate. You know, and this is so true. You know, in some homes, there are spirits of incest. And it's just perpetuated from generation to generation. You know, and you know what? That's not to say that it has to be that way. But nowhere along is that cycle broken. Nowhere along is somebody coming in introducing Christ or somebody breaking that cycle. So what happens? That spirit follows down through generations. Oh, I'm not talking about passing on spirits. I'm just saying the spirit that's nurtured, the spirit, that attitude, that mindset that's being nurtured is passed on from generation to generation. And so we need, you know, in you know what? In your home, in your life, there may be spirits that you're nurturing. And, you know, I know that God has provided angels for us and God protects us. But you know what? Some Christians, even though we can't be demon-possessed, let me make that clear right from the giddy-up, you can't be demon-possessed, but you can surely be demon-influenced. And some of those spirits, some Christians are nurturing spirits in their life that are not good, and they're allowing those spirits to reign around them. Even though they can't possess them, they're reigning around them and pretty much controlling their life. Ruling spirits, ruling authorities, rulers of darkness of this world, ruling spirits who bring moral and spiritual darkness to the world. There are spirits that are bent, and their only objective is to bring moral and spiritual darkness to the world. And you know what? They're doing a good job. Very good job. You look at all the stuff that we got to deal with today in this society that we live in. There's a lot of darkness being brought this way, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is evil spirits in heavenly territories. Let me give you a good example. And I'm winding down here. See, we got done with communion. I was telling Russell, I said, we moving through the service kind of good today. You know, it was like 11:30 and we's done with communion. I said, that's more preaching time up here. All right, but I'm getting ready to wind it down, saints. All right, but you know, Daniel got down and Daniel began to pray for God's will and for God's direction. God sent the angel to answer Daniel's prayer. This is Daniel chapter 10. God sent the angel to answer Daniel's prayer. See, he said, Daniel, from the day you started praying, the answer was on the way. But it didn't get there until 21 days later. What happened? When he finally got there, Daniel said, man, where you been? He said, I got caught up. He said, there was battles in heavenly places that hindered me from coming to bring to you the answer that God had for you. Saints, we're dealing with issues up here. That's what I'm saying. You got to lift the battle. You got to lift it from earth, and you got to lift it up here. You got to do business up here. Because if you don't, you're fighting the wrong spirits. You're fighting in the wrong place. You're on the wrong battlefield. Spiritual battles require spiritual sight. You got to see the assault. You got to see the adversary. And praise God. You've got to see your assistance. You've got to see your assistance. Look at this. I'm going to read from the notes here. When we read verse 12, it is clear that the child of God does not have a chance against this host of wicked forces. Man, you don't have a chance. Look at all that's coming against you. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. You don't have a chance. But I got some good news for you. I got some real good news for you. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. We saw that. Oh, man. We saw Christ being nailed to the cross this morning. We saw him being nailed to the cross this morning. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. We saw him nailed to the cross. But there's a second part of that message. There's a second part of that story. And notice what he says here, having spoiled principalities and powers. That's two of the things that Paul talked about in Ephesians 6. You know what this word spoiled means? It means to disarm. Having disarmed the wickedness in high places, the evil spirits, the morality, all the wickedness of the world, it's been disarmed. Christ disarmed it. Praise God. You got to see your help. When you're in the battle, realize that you have help in the battle. But you got to take it up. You got to put on the armor. You got to put it on. There was a little boy who ran up to his dad. He had a very serious expression on his face, and he said, Daddy, is Satan bigger than I am? And the dad said, Son, yes, he is. And the boy began to get worried. He said, Well, Daddy, is Satan bigger than you are? And the daddy said, Yes, he is. And the boy got even more worried. And finally, the boy said, Daddy, is he bigger than Jesus? And the dad said, No, my son, Jesus is bigger than the devil. And the little boy smiled. And with a sigh of relief, he said, I'm not afraid of him then. The devil is not bigger than Jesus. He's against us. He's fighting against us. But he's not bigger than Jesus. If we tap into the armor, and we're going to go through each piece and tell you what it means. If we tap into the armor. Remember now, we're fighting four battles. We're in four spiritual battles. The flesh, the world, God, and Satan. We're talking about fighting against Satan.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of part 5, The Belt of Truth. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, preparation for the battle, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Preparation for the Battle, or program number 061001. That's 877-831-5060 and request Preparation for the Battle, or program number 061001. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.